Today's daf is Nida daf Yud Ches. We left off in daf Yud Zayinim and Beis, and we were discussing this mishnah on the top of Yud Zayinim and Beis that gave a mashal of the anatomy of a woman by using terminology that we would normally associate with a building or a house or something like that. It described a cheder, a prosdor, and an aliyah, which literally means a room, a hallway, and an upper floor. But over here it means the uterus, the vaginal canal, and aliyah is the mystery part. We're not exactly sure what that is. But we saw, the Mishnah had said that if you find a dam in the dam from the cheder, the dam from the cheder is going to be tameh, that's uterine bleeding. Dam from the aliyah is tahar. But what if you find dam in the prosdar and you don't know, therefore, if it came from the cheder or from the aliyah? So the Mishnah said, so sveiko tame, because cheskaso min hamakar. You could assume that such dam came from the makar. So we had four different shitos that we learned yesterday in the Gemara about when exactly do we assume that it's safek tame, when do we assume it's vadai tame, and when do we assume it's vadai tahar, depending on where you find the dam. Four different shitos. One was Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Brei Rav Yehuda, who were Talmidim of Rav Huna. So Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Brei Rav Yehuda held that Nimtzo min aluvu ufnim is sveiko tamei, min aluvu chutz is sveiko tahar. That if you find it, min aluvu ufnim is tamei, min aluvu vilachutz is tahar. That's what they held. Then the second shita was Rav Huna himself, where he said no, min aluv lufnim is vaday tameh, min aluv lachutz is sveiko tameh. Then we have a bayis shita who held that min aluv lachutz is sveiko tameh, and min aluv lufnim is also sveiko tameh, that they're both considered sveiko tameh. And then we have the second version of Abaye who said that min aluv lufnim is vaday tameh, min aluv lachutz is vaday tahar, that everything is vaday, that min aluv lufnim is vaday tameh, min aluv lachutz is vaday tahar. So now the Gemara is going to say, okay, now that we have these four shitos, we have four shitos in Amoraim, depending whether min aluv lufnim, min aluv lachutz, we know clearly that min aluv lufnim is more of a chance of being tameh than min aluv lachutz. Question is how it breaks down. Is it vaday versus vaday, vaday versus safek, safek tameh, vaday tahar? Exactly how it how it breaks down is a four-way machlokas. We're going to mention another machlokas, and we're going to try to see how each of these shitos fit into that other machlokas. So Tani Rebbe Chiya, Dama Nimtza B'Prozor, about 7 lines before the end of the page, Yud Zayinim Beis. Dama Nimtza B'Prozor, if you find dam in the vaginal canal, Chayavin Alav Albias Migdash V'Sarfin Alav V'Satruma. If you go into the Beis HaMigdash, if a woman goes into the Beis HaMigdash after having found blood in the vaginal canal, so she's going to be Chayav for entering the Migdash while Tamei, and if she touches any Truma, we burn that Truma. So that is another way of saying she is Vadai Tameh. Now it doesn't tell us where in the prozor she found this dam, whether it was min aluv lufnim or min aluv lachutz. One would presume it's min aluv lufnim because we're saying that she's vaday tameh. Min aluv lufnim is a much greater chance of being vaday tameh. But that's Rabbi Chiya's shita. You find blood in the prozor, vaday tameh. V'rav Katina Amar, Ein chayavin alav al bias mikdash, ve'ein sarfin alav as a truma. No, not vaday tameh. You can't burn truma based on this. You can't be mechayev al bias mikdash based on dam found in the vaginal canal. Not good enough. It's not going to be vaday tameh. So now let's go through the four shitos and see who they line up with. Do they line up with Rabbi Chiya, with Rav Katina, with both, or with neither? So let's see each shita. Lahach lishna da amar abayi. Strangely, we go out of order over here. Well, not so strangely, because we're building up to the one sheet that we have a problem with. So lahach lishna damra bayi ibasar chashasha azalta misayel l'Rav Katina pligad Rabbi Chiya. According to the last sheet that we mentioned, the ibay seimav abaye, the last sheet that we mentioned, who said that if you're going basar chashasha, they're both considered safek and ibasar chazaka, then min aluv lefnim is vaday tamim, min aluv lechutz is vaday tahar. So then it will work out very well. So it's a siyua to Rav Katina, and it's a pligad Rabbi Chiya. Clearly disagrees with Rabbi Chiya and supports Rav Katina, because he said that it's a safek in either situation. That idi safeku, that when you go basar chashasha, idi is a safek. And Rav Katina is the one that said safek. but that's going to be against Rabbi Chiya, who said Vadai. Fine. Lahachlish Adamar Dibasa Chazaka Zalta Misayele Rabbi Chiya, Upligid Rav Kitina. And if you say, like the Shita that said, Ibasar Chazaka Zlinan, so Ibasar Chazaka Zalta, so that Shita of Abaye of Ibasar Chazaka Zalta is Minaluv Lufinim is Vadai Tame, Minaluv Lachutz is Vadai Tar. Everything should be Vadai. So then it's a Siyua to Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya held Vadai Tame, and Rabbi Chiya must have been talking about Minaluv Lufinim, like we surmised anyway, he was obviously talking about Minaluv Lufinim. And it's Vadai Tamei, and then it's against Rav Ketina. That would be going up against Rav, because Rav Ketina said it was only Safek Tamei. But according to this Lashon, it would be Vadai Tamei. It would not be only Safek Tamei. And Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, which is the second Shita, we're working our way backwards, according to Rav Huna, so who said that Minaluv Lefnim is Vadai Tamei, Minaluv Lechutz is Sveiko Tamei, Lo Pligi, then it's not even a machlokas between Rabbi Chiya and Rav Ketina. Not only does Rav Huna fit with these earlier Shitos of Rabbi Chiya and Rav Ketina, but they fit with each other. It's not even a machlokas at all. Kan Minaluv Lefnim, Kan Minaluv Velechutz. What happened? Rabbi Chiya said, you find Dam in the prisoner, it's Vadai Tamei. Rav Ketina said, it's Safek Tamei. Rav Huna said, it depends. It's Vadai Tamei if you find it Minaluv Lefnim. It's Safek Tamei if you find it Minaluv Velechutz. So he'll tell you that when Rabbi Chiya said Vadai Tamei, he was talking about a situation where the Dam was found Minaluv Velefnim. When Rav Ketina said Safek Tamei, he was talking about a situation where he found the Dam Minaluv Velechutz. So everything works out very neatly. But going back to the first Shita, going back to Rami Bar Shmuel, Rav Yitzchak Brei Rav Yehuda, Damri, Minaluv Velechutz, Sveiko Tohar, Minaluv Velefnim, Sveiko Tamei, who says that Minaluv Velechutz is going to be Sveiko Tohar, Minaluv Velefnim is Sveiko Tamei, Sahani B'mai Metukba, who could they possibly be going like? Be going like, meaning what are they understanding is the Metzius of the case, and therefore who do they line up with? So says Gemara, Minaluv Velefnim, so you want to say, okay, maybe they understand the case is talking about a case of Minaluv Velefnim, and where they hold Sveiko Tamei, but then Lema Pligad Rabbi Chiya, then they're going against Rabbi Chiya. Now, unclear, I think Rashi asked this kasha, but unclear why this is a kasha. What do you mean? Yeah, so they're going against Rabbi Chiya, which means they're going just like Rav Ketina. Rav Ketina is the one that said Sveiko Tamei. So if you say that we're talking about a case of Min Halul Vilifnim, they're going against Rabbi Chiya, and the Gemara is for some reason bothered by this. How could they be going against Rabbi Chiya? So says Gemara Lo Kasha, Kan Kishenimtza Bekarko Prozdar, Kan Shenimtza Begag Prozdar. No, there's a big difference. When you find it in the Karko of the Prozdar, which is the normal way, the normal path the blood would take from the uterus, so that would be a case of Vadai Tamei, and that's what Rabbi Chiya was talking about. But these two Amoraim, Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Brei Rav Yehuda, when they said that Minaluv Lefnim is Sveiko Tamei, so yes, it's Minaluv Lefnim, so it's in the area where you expect it to be more Tamei, but it was found on the Gag HaProzdor, which is a very unusual thing. So there are two factors taken into account. A, is it Minaluv Lefnim or Minaluv Lechutz? But even if it's Minaluv Lefnim, which leads you to believe that it's going to be Tamei, if it's found on the Gag HaProzdor, that's less reason to assume Tuma, and therefore these Amoraim hold, it's only Safek Tamei in that situation when you find it on the Gag HaProzdor. Okay, so there are several issues to discuss over here. First of all, we said that dominance of Prozdar, so according to Rabbi Chiya, you're chayiv for Bias Migdash, and you're sar for Nalavis HaTruma. This statement of Rabbi Chiya plays a very critical role in a sugya Maseches Bava Basra and Daf Chav Dalid. The Gemara in Bava Basra has a whole sugya about Rov Ukarov, meaning the Torah, we know the Torah tells us to follow the Rov. The Torah says, Acher Ablahatos, typically speaking, we have a din of following Rov. However, lesser known, but equally true, there is a din in the Torah that we follow Karov, that we follow proximity in the Torah to determine what something really is, where something really came from. Where do we see such a din in the Torah. It doesn't say achri karav lahatos. So where do we find it in the Torah such a din? This is by Egla Rufa, that you find a mace between two cities and you're not sure where the mace came from, which city was responsible for not being malave him properly, for putting him in danger, where the murderer came from. So we go with the Beis Din of the closer city, has to do the procedure of Egla Rufa. Why the closer city? Why not just take the largest city in the world and let them do an Egla Rufa, because they are the rove, they have the majority of people? So apparently you see that there is a din of Karov. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great, there's a din of Karov. What if the Karov goes up against the rove? Meaning, what if there are two cities, one city is closer, the other city has 10 times as many people? So there's a much greater chance that there's that the mace came from the larger city, or there's meaning one could argue there's a much greater chance that the mace came from the larger city, or do you say no, there's such a din that you follow Karov? So what happens when Karov goes against Rov? That is the sugya in Masechet Bava Basra. So the Gemara in Bava Basra tries to prove it from this din of Dam Nida. You find Dam in the Prozdar. If you are tola on something that's Rov Umatsoi, and on the Mitzad Hasheni, there's a Karov going on the other, to tell you the other way. So what do you do? So the Gemara wants to show you that you follow Rov Umatsoi, because Dam that's Nimtza B'Prozdar, you could be told that it came from the Cheder, that it came from the uterus. Why? Because Rov Dam comes from the uterus. And Rov Damim Mitzuyim Sham. So Mitzad Hasheni, though, you could say, no, it comes from the Aliyah, because it's Karov. The Aliyah is closer to the Prozdar than the uterus is. So from the fact that Rabbi Chiya is willing to say Tame Vadai, so you see clearly that Rov beats Karov, because the Aliyah is the Karov, the uterus, the Cheder, is the Rov, so we see that Rov beats Karov. So Tosos asks, how can you prove that from here, that Dafka Mokom Sheish Rov and Motzui Holchemacha Rov? It could be that we were metame because there's a rove, and and the truth is, even with the rove belimatzoi, we would follow the rove and it would be tame b'vaday. Meaning, how can you prove that it's only in a situation that when there's rove and matzoi, we would follow the rove? Maybe even when it was just a rove, this would be enough to follow the rove. Okay, but leaving that question out, that's the basics of the sugya. So frek the Taisus Rid, why do we have to prove from Rabbi Chiya that Rov Vakarov, Holchemacha Rov, and we're going to be Mitam Midaraisa? We needed to come up with this unusual din of Rabbi Chiya, Dama Nimtza B'Prozdar, right? That's where we're going to prove that Rov Vakarov, Holchemacha Rov. Asks the Taisus Rid, every single Nida who sees Dam doesn't know for sure where that Dam came from. If it came from the Cheder, it came from the Aliyah. Forget about Nimtza Dam B'Prozdar. There's an internal examination done, and they find Dam in the Prozdar. Forget about it. She sees Dam. She has her period. She sees a flow of blood. Does she know for sure where that blood came from? Whether it came from the Aliyah, whether it came from the Cheder? Why do we assume that she's Tameh? Why do we assume it came from the uterus? Rov! Rov Vakarov! Halchemacha Rov! So what does the Gemara have to bring me from Rabbi Chiya? Bring me just simply from the case of Nida. That's the Kasha of Taisus Rid. So Taisus Rid explains that the derech of the way the dam comes out of the body when it comes from the uterus is different than the way it comes out of the body when it comes from the Aliyah. When it comes from the uterus, it flows out of the body. When it comes from the Aliyah, it comes out in drips and drabs, tipin tipin. And therefore, by any dam that flows, it's not going to be a raya that you follow Rov over Karov, because there's a hochacha that it didn't come from the Karov. There's a major reyasa on the Karov. There's something telling you that the nature, the way this blood came out, that it could not have been from the Karov. Ah, but from Rabbi Chiya, it wasn't a flow of blood. You didn't have to see the blood flow from the body. The woman found the blood in the Prozdar. So there's no Reyesa on the Karov. So that's going to be the ultimate Raya when it's simply Rov against Karov that you're going to follow the Rov. That's why Rabbi Chiya is used as the Raya. The Nodeb Yehuda is Medayik from here. Nodeb Yehuda in Yardeh, Madur Kama Simen Nun Hei. Why did Rabbi Chiya say his halacha. He wants to say vaday tame, right? We get what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that if you see dam in the prosdar, you're vaday tame. Why does he have to say chayav nilav al bias migdash, sof nilav is a truma? What does vaday tame mean to us nowadays? Vaday tame does not mean to us. Unfortunately, we don't have bias migdash anymore. We don't have sof nilav is a truma anymore. So what does vaday tame mean to us? Vaday tame means her husband is going to be chayav kares. That there's a genuine chiv kares on her husband for being boel her after she sees his dam. So fretanad biyuda, why not put it into contemporary terms that actually relates to our lives? Why do we have to put it into terms that have no relation to anything that we could relate to, unfortunately, nowadays without a beis hamikdash? So he's miyashe that a woman who finds dam in the prozdar and doesn't know if it came from the makor or came from the aliyah, doesn't know if it came from the uterus or came from the aliyah, is not going to be tamei lebaila unless we're also machzik that she's tamei linyan bias migdash. He develops this yesod that tuma lebaila is a result of tumas migdash. That whenever you're dealing with a woman, whether she's tamei or not, our question is she tamei to the extent that she'd be chayiv alav mishum bias migdash? If the answer to that is yes, then we say mimela she's tamei lebaila as well. Why does this matter? I don't remember if the Nadibid actually fleshes it out to discuss this point, but it seems that nafkamina would be, what kind of suffik is suffik dan? Is it a suffik tuma or is it a suffik iser? So you could argue either way, right? It's a suffik tuma because there are halachas of tuma when a woman is in nida, or you could say it's a suffik iser. The fact that the husband is not allowed to be with the wife has nothing to do with tumatara. That's a din in iser veheter. That's the famous kasha in the Kuzari that they asked the Melech HaKuzari asked that why is it if you don't keep any laws of tuma and tara anymore that we still have a din of nida? No, nida is not tuma and tara. Nida is iser lebaila. It's iser veheter. So there are different rules governing iser veheter. Different rules by sveikos governing iser veheter than governing tuma and tara. There are completely different rules by iser veheter. So what are the in terms of who to paskin like? Sometimes he'll sakrav be suri. I'm not sure if we have any such din by tuma. So there are different rules. What do you treat all issues of analyzing whether a woman is an either? Do you treat it as a tum of tara shayla, or do you treat it as an iser v'heter shayla? Says the Nadav Yehuda, it's a beikar, it's a tum of tara shayla. Once your answer, what the status is in regards to tum of tara, that now sheds light on what the status is in regards to baila, and that's why Rabbi Chiya Dafka formulates it in that way. That it's that the Dafka formulates it in the tum and tara kind of way of bias. Migdash, sarf and love as a truma, and that kind of thing. Tosus also asks that since this suffix, meaning let's go to Rav Ketina now, right? Rav Ketina says, Yunachayev al bias migdash ain't sarf and love as a truma. So says Tosus, this suffix is a suffix tuma, right? So why does Rav Ketina just say, you're not sarif truma, suffix tuma doesn't mean anything? What's the rule by suffix tuma? Suffix tuma versus a rabbim is tahar vadai. Brishos Hayachid is Tame Vadai, and you suffer from love Truma. So shouldn't it be totally on whether the Taros, if you touch the Taros in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or the Taros that were touched in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, I mean, we're not sure if this woman is Tameh or not. So what did she touch? Did she touch Taros in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Did she touch Taros in Rosh Hashanah Yachid? If it was Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it should be Taros. If it was Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it should be Tameh. What kind of comment is this? That it's automatically a Suffolk Tameh? It's either Vaday Tameh or it's Vaday Tarb, depending whether it was Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's Taisus Kasha. That's the way Rav Chaim Ozer explains Tosfos Kasha. In Shari Yosher, he explains the Kasha a little bit differently. That the issue is not where did she touch Tamei things, but where was she when she found out that she was Tamei? If the woman was Bereshus HaYachid at the time that the Dam came out from her, so we should say she's Vadei Tameya. She was Bereshus HaRabim, we should say she's Vadei Tahora. So Tosfos is Miyashev that the Din Tuma Sota is a Din of Tuma that comes Al Yedei Maga HaSota. It's very hard to use the term like Maga when we describe a Sota, because by Sota it's not really Tuma, it's just that the Torah calls it Tuma. It's Isser. She slept with another man. She may have slept with another man, so it's an issue of Isser, but nevertheless the Torah calls it Tuma. How does that Tuma happen, so to speak, in quotes, Tuma happen? It happens by her coming into physical contact with some other person. So whenever we're going to learn, and Sot is the source for Safik Tum Rishus Yachid Tameh, Safik Tum Rishus Rabim Tahar. So the whole din of Safik Tum Rishus Yachid Tameh can only be applied to cases where the issue is Maga Tuma, that Tuma was transmitted by something coming into contact with something else. When a woman becomes a Nida, she does not become Tamei because she touched the blood that came out of her body. It has nothing to do with Maga. It's Tuma Hayotza La Migufa. And whenever the situation is a suffix of Tuma Hayotza La Migufa, so that's that Tuma that just comes inherently from the body and it has no relation to anything that you touched or may have come into contact with, all bets are off in terms of Safik Tum Rishus Yachid, Safik Tum Rishus Rabim. We don't follow those rules of Safik Tum Rishus Yachid. We only follow those rules when it's a type of Safik that is similar to the Safik of Sota, where it's a Safik Maga. The Shari Yosher explains that since the Etzem HaSafik of Riyas Dam Anida is a Safik in Shinrei Aguf, it's not a Safik Tuma, because the Tuma comes only as a result of the Ri'iyah, as a result of some Shinrei in the Guf, and the Safik of the Ri'iyah has a Cheskas Tara, so Mela, the Safik Tuma is Nigrar Achre, the Safik HaMakari, the original Safik, which is just the Safik in Shinrei HaGuf, and therefore it wouldn't follow normal laws of Safik Tuma. Okay, good, that's how Tosfos explains. Let's see the Gemara further now. So says the Gemara, we're on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, we are up to now about the 7th line, 8th line, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan makes a statement, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'shloshu Mekomos Holchu Bo Chacham Machar Rov V'asom Kevadei. There are three places where the Chacham follow a Rov, but they treat that Rov ki'ilu it's a Vadai. They follow that Rov with absolute certainty. And those three places are Makar, Shilya, Chaticha. Let's explain each one. Makar, Hadiamron. Makar, well, that's what we just said. Now, where's the case of Rov that we're treating it like a Vaday? Now, what did Rabbi Chiya say? You find Dam in the Prozdar. It's a Rov that it came from the uterus. And Vaday Tameh. You burn Truma based on it. You Chayiv Albias Migdash based on it. You Chayiv Kares for the husband based on it. So that's treated like an absolute Vaday. What's the second case? Shilya, afterbirth. What's the case? Shilya ditnan. Shilya bebayis, if you find afterbirth in a house, habayis tameh, the entire house is presumed tameh. Velosha shilya vlad, it's not that the shilya is a vlad and therefore itself transmits tuma, because it doesn't. El she'en shilya below vlad, but you can't have afterbirth if there wasn't a vlad also. And therefore we assume that there is tuma there as well, based on a rov. Based on, and that rov we treat like a vadai. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nimo Kavlad actually Yatzer. Rabbi Shimon says the Vlad we assume was disintegrated prior to coming out. Fine. Chaticha, what's the case of Chaticha? Ditnan. Hamapelas Yad Chatucha, a woman miscarries a broken off hand, something that looks like a hand, a piece of cartilage tissue, whatever that looks like a hand. Veregel Chatucha, or it looks like a regel, looks like a leg. Imo Tamei Leida, Vein Choshen Shem Miguf Atum Basa. So the mother's going to be Tamei Leida, we assume she had a genuine Leida, and we don't assume that it came from some sort of malformed or unformed fetus. So why? Because Rove of the fetuses are not malformed or unformed fetuses, therefore you could assume it came from a real fetus. So she's going to be Tamei Leida Bevadai. We're going to treat her, she's going to have to bring the full Karbanos, she's going to have the full Din of Tuma, right? She's going to be Tamei Leida Bevadai. These are three cases of Rove, where even though it's only a rov, we treat it ki'ilu, it's a vadai. The Tosa Rosh writes that the chiddush is that even though there's a miut against the rov, and there's a chazaka against the rov, still that's not going to be megareya the rov. It's not going to ruin the rov. We're still going to follow the rov like it's a vadai. And even Rav Meir, who's choshish l'miuta, and is mitzarif to a chazaka, over here is going to be modeb. Rav Meir throughout Chas is the one that's chashin l'miuta. Rav Meir's shita throughout Chas is he's always choshish l'miut. He's always choshish for the minority of situations. So even Rav Meir, for whatever reason, in these cases, is going to be moda that the miut isn't strong enough to affect the rov to knock down the rove, the rove is going to be treated like a vadai. So the Pischei Nida writes that you have to say that Rabbi Yochanan says these three mekomos holchu chacham machar rove. Why does it say holchu chacham? Din rove is din daraisa. Yichayvel of bias mikdash sofrenas of truma midaraisa. Why is it holchu chacham machar rove? So you have to say that what he's trying to be mechadish is that even where the Torah does not tell us to follow rove, meaning even he who is choshish lemiyuta, where min a Torah you could be mitstarif the miyutu chazaka, even Rabbi Meir who would hold that in a situation where you have a mir and a chazaka, the Torah doesn't govern this situation, would not tell you to follow the rove, over here would be moda, that it's treated like a vadai, that you can follow the rove even in a Torah. And the reason that the Chacham considered this like a rove, that's how the Pischei Nida explains how the Tosfos Rosh must be correct. So again, Tosfos Rosh is mechadesh, that when we say the rove is treated like a vadai over here, it's afilu l'shitas Rabbi Meir, that's his chiddush. Even Rabbi Meir, who holds typically miyut, chazaka, has enough to overpower a rove, will agree over here the rove is treated like a vadai. His raya is from the lashon of holchu chachamim achar harov. So let's see the Gemara Vayit. So the Gemara says those are really the only three cases where we have a rove and we treat the rove like a vadai. I'll give you three more, says the Gemara. The Gemara challenges from three different places. So v'su leka, is there no further case? Va'ikal, I'll give you a very poshut one. Teisha chanuyos, you have nine stores. Detanya, teisha chanuyos kulan mochros basar shchuta. V'achos mocheres basar neveli. You have nine stores. All of them are selling kosher meat except for one. One of them is selling non-kosher meat. All nine are selling kosher meat, a tenth one is selling non-kosher meat. V'lakach me'achas mehen, ve'eni yodei me'ez mehen lakach. You bought from one of the stores, you don't remember which store you bought from. So sveiko aser. The halacha is that it's going to be sveiko aser, that it's we aser it misafik, because there is that one store that you may have bought from that's not kosher. Aye, but it's a miyut. Well, yeah, but it's kavua. Kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. Whenever you buy from the store, so the suffix arose in its set place, in its set location, and therefore there's a rule that kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami is treated like a 50-50 suffix. But ubenimtza, let's say you find the meat on the floor, so then when you find it, not in the stores, outside of the stores, halachacha rov, you follow the rov. So what kind of follow the rov? Meaning you're allowed to eat it. You mamish follow the rov. So it's 100% rov. It's 100%, that rov is treated like a vadai also. So how could you say there are only three cases where we treat a rov like a vadai? How could Rabbi Yochanan say there are only three cases, makar, shilya, chaticha, where we treat a rov like a vadai? By the Teisha Chanuyos, we also treat a rov like a vadai. And so Gemara, tumah ka'amrinan, Isser lo kamrinan. In Achinami, we do treat that rov like a vadai. When Rabbi Yochanan said that there are only three cases, he means in the world of Tumentara, there are only three cases. In the world of Isser Veheter, there may be many more cases where you treat the rov like a vadai. So, on this case of Teisha Chanuyos, several of the Achronim, the Pnei Aryeh, the Pischei Nida, point out that Teisha Chanuyos is a rov hanimtza lefanenu. That rove is learned from Acher Adam Lahatos. It's what we call a Ruba di Isa Kaman. It's a very easily cheshbon rove just by looking and counting at how many stores there are. And that there's no great chiddush to say you follow the rove. Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush wasn't that you follow a rove by Ruba di Isa Kaman and treat it like a vadai. Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush was that even by Ruba de Lesa Kaman, where the rove is not lefanenu. What's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman? Ruba de Lesa Kaman is what we would call generally referred to as a chazaka, right? A chazaka is that this usually happens. Is it scientific? Did we do a study? Did we take a poll? No, but that's what it usually is. Like the Mishnah Machshirin discusses, you find a tinok mushlach, you find a baby that's been abandoned. So is it a Jewish baby or a non-Jewish baby, right? So the Mishnah has, well, we have on the one hand, let's say the city is rove Jewish women. So you could say, okay, so that's a ruba di isa kaman, that most of the women in the city are Jewish. But on the other hand, there's a rove that rove mashlichei tinokos are rove de kochavim. Most of the people who abandon babies are not Jewish women. Jewish mothers typically don't abandon babies. Is that a ruba di isa kaman? A poll was done. We check. No, that's a ruba di lesa kaman. That's a chazaka that we know. Jewish women don't abandon their babies. So when Rabbi Yochanan said that we follow rove like a vadai, the Achronim point out very, very sharply over here. When Rabbi Yochanan says we follow Rav like a Vaday, his chiddush was that even though it's a Ruba de Lesa Kaman, we follow it like a Vaday, not a Ruba de Isa Kaman. So what's the Gemara even hacking over here from the Teisha Chanuyos? Teisha Chanuyos is no big chiddush. That's a Ruba de Isa Kaman. So based on what Tosus writes in Bab Basra, that Rov Dam and Nimtza Proprozdar is considered a Ruba de Lesa Kaman, so that could be the answer why we don't follow Teisha Chanuyos. That Rabbi Yochanan was only talking about cases of Ruba de Lesa Kaman. So the Pnei Aryeh writes that the dinim that Rabbi Yochanan mentions, even though they are Rov Gomer, but still it would have made sense to be Machmir, not to be Sorif Truman Kachim, since there's no hefsid in being Machmir. You don't lose anything by being Machmir. And still, the Chacham were somich on the Rov completely, and were not Choshesh at all, and said you should even burn Truma. So that's why the Gemara asked that it should have brought the case of Teisha Chanuyos, because Teisha Chanuyos is another situation where there's no hefsid at all to be Choshesh, that it came from the store selling the Vela, and that it's Aser. And still we're going to follow the Rov, and we're not going to be Choshesh for the Aser at all. So Rabbi Yochanan should have mentioned that Chiddush, that idea that, you know, we don't lose anything halachically, meaning we lose something, we lose a piece of meat, but you don't lose anything halachically. You're not risking any halacha by being machmir, and still we're going to be makel in this case. So maybe that alone should have allowed for Rabbi Yochanan to bring up the case of Teisha Chanuyos, even though fundamentally it's a different kind of rov. Another article, Kovitz Shurim, Rav Elchanan writes in Chelek Beis on the Shmaitz and Oschav Aleph, so when we say Kol Kavua Kamechzal Mechzadami, so what does that mean? Does that mean that there simply is no rov? So he says, no, it doesn't mean that there is no rov. It means that we don't follow the rov. There's a difference, meaning by Dina Mamonis, Ein Holchin B'Mamon Achar HaRov, we have a halacha. That means there's no such thing as a rov by Dina Mamonis. No, there is a rov. We recognize that there is a rov, but the halacha says that we don't use that rov to determine how we're going to behave. We don't use that rov to determine what the halacha is going to be. So Rav Elchanan writes, the same is true by Kol Kavua K'mechzal Mechzadami, that yes, there is a rov, but that rov is not going to determine exactly how we're going to behave. One more important har over here. Tosos over here writes that the mashmos is that we follow the rov even when it's karov lechanos, that's selling basar nevela. Let's say you found the meat right outside the store selling nevela, but there are nine other stores that are selling kosher meat. So would you still follow the rov? It sounds like yes, because the Gemara never says otherwise. The Gemara doesn't distinguish where you found the meat, so it sounds like even b'makom karov, you would follow the rov. So Tosos says, so if that's the case, what's Rabbi Chanina's big chiddush in Maseches Bava Basra that rov v'karov holchem achar rov? We have it right here. It's the Mishnah. Teisha Chanuyos. Rov v'karov. You find it right outside the store selling nevela. Nine of the stores are selling shchuta. Rov v'karov holchem achar rov. You don't need any big chiddush of Rabbi Chanina. It's a beferish, a Mishnah. So Tosas and Miyashev that this price is speaking in a case where there's no kurba d'muchach. It's not so close that it makes it evident that it came from that store. And that's why we follow the rov. Rabbi Chanina's mechadesh, that even when the karov is a korba de muchach, even when the karov is a very significant kind of karov, the kind of karov that would tell you that it probably really did come from the store, still you follow the rov. And that we don't get from the Mishnah. But that, of course, leaves the question that the Achronim have to deal with. How do you define what's called a korba de muchach? And what's called a korba deino muchach? What makes something a muchach karov and what makes it not a muchach karov? So Rav Elchanan writes in the Kovitz Shurim Bab Basra, Peyalif, that korba de muchach is that the chaticha itself, if you were to see that chaticha alone, and there were no other stores and nothing else, you were to see that chaticha, you would say, it probably came from that place. That's korba de muchach. Korba deino muchach is that given the options, it more likely came from that place than the other places. But inherently, you would not have said that it likely came from that area. Meaning, let's say if you were to see a piece of meat, so you would assume it came from the surrounding area. Let's say there are no stores in that surrounding area. But the closest store happens to be a store that sells nevela. So that's a korba de'eno muchach, because inherently, the korba wouldn't tell you that it came from there. It's just that, in comparison to where the other options are, it's more likely it came came from there than the other options. So that would be a korban de'enu muchach. Only when it's in such close proximity that you would say on your own that it probably came from there, even without any competing issues, so that's where we would say it's a korban de muchach. Sam Sofer has a slightly different definition of korban de muchach, but let's get moving in the Gemara over here. So says the Gemara, is there really no other case where we follow the rov b'toras v'adai? Va'ika teshu, about 6 lines before the end of the page, va'ika teshu tzvardi in v'sheretz echad b'neim. Let's say you have 9 tzvardim and 1 sheretz. Tzvardim are tahor, sheretz is tamei. V'nagar b'echad b'neim v'nio de'a b'ezim v'nagar. You touched one of them, you don't know which one you touched. V'rishus ha'yachad tzveik otam, v'rishus ram tzveik otahor, u'benimtza halach achar rov. So v'rishus ha'yachad tzveik otam, v'rishus ram tzveik otahor. But if it's a case of nimtza in the karka, where you never took it out of the kavius, then we'd follow the rov, and it's mutter because called the parish miruba parish, right? Then you would just follow the majority. So you see that we follow the majority with the Torah's vaday, says the Gemara, okay, and that's in the world of tuma. We answer the last question on Teisha Chanius by saying, no, we're not talking about Issa Vahetar. This is tuma tara. And the Gemara, no, we're talking more narrowly. Tuma di isha karminan, tuma bi alma lo karminan. We're talking about dafka tumas nida. Tuma of not love dafka nida, but tuma of a woman. Tuma of a woman with dam. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about tuma of tzvardim, of shratim. So therefore, it doesn't. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't mention it. Meaning in a chinami. You're right. That's a case where we follow rov b'toras vaday. It doesn't make Rabbi Yochanan's list because Rabbi Yochanan's list of the three cases where we follow rov b'toras vaday are three cases within the world of tumas isha that we follow rov. Vitoris Vaday. So says where we got one more. Vayika Hadam Rabishub and Levi. Avr bin Nahar v'yipila. What about Rabbi Ben Levi's case? A woman was passing through a river and she miscarried something. She was mapil something. Mavia carbon v'nechal. She could bring carbon and the carbon gets eaten. Halachach Rav Nashim. Rav Nashim Vlad Malia Yaldan. We assume that she gave birth, that it was a real Vlad, because Rav Nashim have a real Vlad that comes out of them. So that's a Rov. It's Tuma. It's Isha. And and we follow Bevadai. And yet Rabbi Yochanan didn't mention it. So says Gemara, yeah, that's because Masnisim Karmin Shmaita Lo Karminan. He's only talking about cases where we have Tanoim on record saying that we follow Rov B'Toras Vaday. That's a statement of Amoraim. So that we're not going to, it's not going to make Rabbi Yochanan's list, even though Eina Chinami, it's another case of Rov that you follow B'Toras Vaday. So all three challenges were true, that they are Rov that we follow B'Toras Vaday. They just, for technicalities, didn't make Rabbi Yochanan's list. So says the Gemara, but is that really only a Shmaitza? It has no basis in Tanoim. V'Kiyasa Ravanam Armasa Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina Toa V'Loyadana V'Loyadana My love, lo tiyufta al siyata. So, but wait a second. Didn't we use this as a kasha on the case of toa v'lo yadana, on the case of a woman who doesn't know exactly when she gave birth and has various svekos surrounding her childbirth? And we said lo yadana my tiyufta. We don't know why this would be a tiyufta on the case of lo yadana. So, isn't the implication, if it's not a tiyufta, that it must have been a siyata? Which means that the case of Lo Yadana, which is Tanayim talking, a brisa of Lo Yadana, of being uncertain about something relating to the childbirth, is actually a siyua to this case of Holech bin Nahar, which would mean the case of Holech bin Nahar isn't only from Amorayim, but it has a siyua in Tanayim, so it should make Rabbi Yochanan's list. Says Gemara, lo, who says it has siyua? Dilma lo tiyufta v'lo siyata. Maybe what he meant to say is that it's neither a tiyufta nor a siyata, that it simply doesn't relate at all to the case of the river. Period. Now says Gemara, okay, Rabbi Yochanan gave a list of three cases where we follow Rov by Tumas, Isha, B'Toras, Vaday. Lemute Mai, what was he trying to tell me to exclude? Where don't we follow Rov, B'Tumas, Isha, B'Toras, Vaday? That he's trying to tell me that there's dafka these three. If he's trying to tell me, well, when there's a chazaka working against the rov, then you're not going to follow the rov b'toras vaday. Rabbi Yochanan already taught me that once. Because we have a Mishnah, if you have a child next to a large piece of dough and he's holding a small piece of dough in his hand, Rameir says, Tahar. You have no reason to assume the large piece of dough is tamei, and the chamas say no, it's tamei because children mess around. So the Avrinu my time is Rameir. So why does Rameir say tahar? Kasavar, Rov Tinokos Metapchin, that the majority of Tinokos do mess around with Tame things, Umiut Ein Metapchin, the minority of Tinokos do not, Visazu Becheskas Torah Medes. So majority would tell you that the child touched the dough, and therefore the dough is going to be Tame. But the chazaka is that the dough has a cheskas tara, so it's a majority against the chazaka. Smoch miut to the chazaka vitrele ruba. So Rav Meir will say that when it's a majority against the chazaka, we don't follow the majority. It's itrele ruba, ruins the majority. We'd follow the miut and the chazaka. There is a machlokas Rashi tells us over here. What's the majority and what's the vaday over here? What's only a rov, and what do we know bivaday? So is it that we know bivaday that the child is tameh, and it's only a rov tinokos metapkin v'isa, so it's a rov that the child touched the dough? Or do we assume no? We know bivaday the child touched the dough because he's holding a piece of it in his hand. What the rov is that rov tinokos are tame. That's the rov part. That's machlokas Rashi Tosfos. But either way, the point is the same. V'rabbanan, the Rabbanan would respond, no, we hold miyuta kamandalesi dame v'ruba v'chazaka ruba adif, that the miyut doesn't count at all. It's simply a case of rov versus chazaka, and rov beats chazaka. V'amrei shlachish v'shur raboshia zui chazaka shesofna alasa truma. This rov tinokos is a significant enough rov that we'd even be sorry if truma on its account. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, here's the key line, Ein zu chazaka shesafrin alayas ha-truma. No, when you have a rov that has a chazaka going against it, even though we follow the rov and rechoshish and everything is tamei because of the rov, but it's not going to be tamei enough to be sorry if truma based on. So how could you tell me that when Rabbi Yochanan lists three, he's trying to exclude a case where you have a chazaka against it, tell you that we're not going to treat it as tamei b'tor as vadai? He already taught it to me. He already told me that over here by the case of Tinokos. Ela lemute, what he's trying to exclude rather is ruba de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's rov. The tnan hamapelus chaticha miyeshim adam tmeya v'imlav torah. A woman is mapil chaticha. So if there's dam together with that piece of tissue that she's mapil, so she's tamei. Otherwise she's tar. Rabbi Yehuda omer bein kach bein kach tmeya. Whether there's dam together with it or not, she's tamei. V'amr Rabbi Yehuda mershmuel lo timi Rabbi Yehuda el bechaticha shel arba mine damim aval shar mine dam tahora. Rabbi Yehuda is only going to be matamei if the chaticha looks like the four colors of blood, that would be tameh. But if it looks like anything else, then it's tahar. Rabbi Yochanan says, now if it looks like the four, and again, Rabbi Yochanan, he's the one that we're interested in. If it looks like the four mine dam, everyone would say it's tameh. And if it looks like anything else, everyone would say it's tahar. Lo nechluku elikashi pila veni yodas ma'apila. The shaila is she was ma'apil, but she doesn't know what color it was. So Rabbi Yehuda suffers zil basar rov chatichos. V'rov chatichos shal arba mine damim havyan. You follow the rov, and rov looks like the four types of blood that are tameh, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that she's tameh. V'rabbanan savi zil basar rov chatichos arminan. The Rabbanan are going to say that we don't follow the rov chatichos. So Rabbi Yochanan is coming to tell me previously that when we say begin Gimel Mekamos, we treat the rov b'toras vaday. He's trying to tell me that in this case of chaticha, where you don't know what it looked like, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's tamei, it's not b'toras vaday. It's only b'toras safek that it's tamei. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah.